All right, let's turn to Psalm 99:9. That ought to be easy to remember. 99:9. It's almost 100. All right, 99:9. Psalm 99:9. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord our God is holy. I want to read to you Leviticus chapter 11 and verse 45. Leviticus 11:45. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. So we're talking about the attributes of God. Does anybody want to guess what we're going to talk about tonight? God is holy. Amen. That's right. Now, most people don't really get a grasp on holy, what it means. We don't study enough. We don't think enough about words and what they mean. It really helps you in all parts of life, not just studying the Bible, but especially there, but in other parts of life, it'll help you to just know what words mean. I've read things where that so many hundred years ago, people's, like back at the beginning of this country, people's vocabulary with so many more words than what we use today. The number of words that are in our vocabulary is much less than what they had. Yeah, they didn't have big schools to go to and colleges to go to, but they got a good education. It wasn't nothing for a child to know Latin by the time he's 12, 13 years old. I think John Adams was ambassador to France when he was 14 years old, and he could speak two or three languages and no telling what else. They got educated. So they understood a lot of things a lot better. Having a big, larger vocabulary helps you to understand a lot of things a lot better. God is holy. Now, God is acceptable to most people in all his other attributes. You mean everybody wants God to be good. Everybody's ready to accept the fact that God's good. That's nice. They're ready to accept the fact that he's merciful, that he's patient, that he's kind, that he's generous, that he's loving, that he's compassionate. All that's good stuff, ain't it? All of it's positive stuff. It's stuff we want. It's attributes that we like in other people too. And so we like a God like that. Most everybody does. That's why you can just twist it just a little bit and you can preach that kind of a gospel. And that's what everybody's doing nowadays. They make God all those things, except he ain't holy no more. You understand? Are you listening tonight? No word can more fully describe the moral attributes of God than the word holy. Now here's the thing, all the attributes of God that are so appealing to most people come under the heading of his holiness. Holiness is like the umbrella over all of these other attributes. All of those spring from the fact that he's holy. If he wasn't holy, he wouldn't be kind and he wouldn't be compassionate. At least he wouldn't be consistently compassionate, consistently kind, consistently good. He would be like people are, good sometimes, but not always. Kind sometimes, but not always. Compassionate sometimes, but not always. But God is always, everybody says it all the time, God is always good. God is always compassionate. Yes, he is. And he's always holy. You better not forget that. Holiness has some more meaning to it. All these good attributes appeal to anyone, sinner or saint, but they're not offensive. Even to a sinful person, all those positive attributes of God, they can sit and listen to a message on the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the compassion of God and the love of God. They can swallow that down and smile and feel real good about it. It's not offensive. But suddenly they're offended with a holy God. Holiness is the attribute that offends them. Not only are those attributes that are appealing, but those that are not so appealing, they're also based in his holiness. Wrath, jealousy. God's a jealous God. That's an attribute we got to look at sometime in this. He's a jealous God. That's not sinful. No? Jealousy is not envy. It's two different things. People put them on the same. People have made them, in our generation, has made them synonyms, but they're not. It's two different words completely. Envy is condemned in the Bible. Jealousy is not, because it's an attribute of God. But it's based in His holiness. Never forget that. And in spite of all this, it's a fact that God is holy, and that's what causes people to turn away from Him. The reason people turn away from God is because He's a holy God. They don't turn away from Him because of His goodness, His mercy, His love, His kindness, His generosity, His compassion, His patience. They don't turn away from Him because of anything like that. They turn away from Him because He's holy. Mm-hmm. He's just. They like that when they're right and somebody wrongs them. But when they're wrong and they wrong somebody else, they don't like that fact that God's just so much. You see what that deal is? So His holiness is offensive because it marks the great difference between God and sinful man. Man is not holy. He's sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes patient, sometimes not. Sometimes compassionate and sometimes not. Sometimes He loves, sometimes He don't. His love's not consistent. It's not steady. Nothing about man's steady. He's a selfish creature seeking His own. And so He's offended with a holy God. That's what offends Him, holiness. Because it's what marks the great difference between God and man. The primary meaning of the word holy is separate, morally pure. And it indicates the absence of sin. Oh, there we go. See, now we're getting to the root of the matter. Holiness means the absence of sin. God's holy. Boy, there's where man runs into a God that's different than him. He runs into a God that's offensive to him because he can't identify with a God like that. Men desire God they can identify with. And until their sin is dealt with effectively, they can't identify with the holy God. Boy, there's the struggle, don't you see? There's where the struggle's at. I hear it all the time. I've heard it very recently. Sin, their own sin, and the sinfulness of man is a problem for them. They just can't understand how this deal works because they do everything they can do and they're still a sinner. They don't know how to be holy. And they don't think it's possible. That's what men do. They come up with doctrines and stuff to excuse and explain and justify the fact that they are not holy. And in that way, they can identify with a holy God even though they're unholy. Somehow God understands. Somehow God just excuses it because that's the way we are. You know, I mean, He made us this way anyway, so how can He condemn us for being like that? That's where it all goes, see? And it is nothing but resistance to God because He's holy. Furthermore, men don't want to be separate from this sinful world, so they halt in their approach to God when they learn that He's holy. That's what stops people. But I've been at this long enough till I know that's exactly right. They'll come to a God that's all positive and all Santa Claus and all just good. And a God that'll serve them. A God that'll deliver them from all their problems. A God that'll rain money down on them when they're broke. A God that'll fix all their situations in life. You know, this big sugar daddy God. They like that kind of God. And that's what they want. But it comes to a screeching halt when you start talking about God being holy. Free of sin. This absence of sin. Morally pure. Then there's this big problem. They're a sinner. And not only that, but they love their sin. Not only that, but they think it's normal. They think it's excusable. They think it's justifiable for them. For them. See? Men don't really desire to be morally pure. in reality, but only in reputation. You hear me? Men don't want to really be morally pure. They just want to have a reputation for being that way. Can't be holy like that. So this causes further hesitation in their drawing nigh to God. They can't draw nigh to God because they don't want to be morally pure in reality. You understand what I'm saying to you? That, let me put it in just plain old talk. They don't want to give up their sin. They don't want to stop it. They want to figure out a way where they can keep it and keep the freedom to do it. At least keep the door open where they can if they want to. They want to leave that option there for themselves. Well, you can't do that. You're at a dead standstill in your approach to God. You ain't going to know God. You ain't going to find God. You ain't going to find peace for your soul. You ain't going to find forgiveness. And nothing. You're not going to find it with God. You're going to be at odds with God until you stop that. You have to forsake your sin. Yes, you do. And there's no other way to get to God. So what we've been talking about, those sacrifices, to me, it's just getting sharper and sharper. I can just see it so plain. All the way of salvation is right there in those sacrifices. This way to be holy, this way to be right with God, this way to be conformed to the image of His Son. What does that mean? If holiness ain't included. If forsaken sin ain't included. It absolutely is. All men know that if God's holy, then those who are born of God will be holy. Also, how can you be born of God and not be holy? I've got a verse to read here on down the road here, several of them, but this one comes to mind real quick and clear is, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So, don't swallow this line of holiness is impossible. You know, God's holy, but we're not. And He knows that. And when we get our new bodies and we're changed and everything, then that's when we will be made holy. No, no, no. That's not what the New Testament teaches whatsoever. Well, God chastens every son whom He receiveth, see? And whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Well, and then it talks there in Hebrews chapter 12 about fathers chastening their sons and all that. And it says God chastens His. What for? What's the end deal there? That they might be partakers of His holiness. That's right. Why does it say, be ye holy? As I am holy. Why does it say that? If it's impossible for men to be holy, why does it say, be ye holy? Well, how are we supposed to? What are we supposed to do? Get right with God. You forsake your sin. You draw nigh to God. And God, He sanctifies us. The Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, guides us into all truth. That's a process that takes place throughout our life. We're made conform more and more into the image of His Son. We're made more and more like Him. We become more and more holy as we walk this journey. And if we don't, there's something bad wrong. Bad wrong with the whole deal. Something wrong with our relationship with God. With what we've understood about this thing, there's something bad wrong if we don't start becoming more and more like Him. The path of the just shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Wow. Think about that. I believe you're supposed to have some improvement in your understanding, in your personal holiness as you grow in the Lord. I believe that's the way it is. So therefore, upon learning that being born again will include being made holy, most stop right there because they don't want to be holy in an unholy world. I've heard lots of stories. I've seen it myself where people, they're all for this, being saved, until somebody mentions that it means forsaking your sin, turning from your sin, and turning to Christ and being made holy. Then no. Whoa, now, wait a minute here. You remember the story about the doctor that got saved at the or at the, well, not the doctor, the gangster that got saved at the big crusade meeting they was having. And he just went on being a gangster. And finally, somebody went to him a few weeks later and said, you know, I thought you got saved. He said, I did. And they said, well, how can you keep on being a gangster, stealing and doing all these things? And you're supposed to be saved. He said, you know, you've got to turn from all of that. He said, well, there's doctors that were here and they didn't stop being a doctor. And there's other lawyers and there's been a businessman and they didn't stop what they were doing. Nobody told me I had to stop. Reckon he got deceived? Reckon somebody had a part in that? What? And he gave up and said, well, if that's the way it is, I don't want no part of it. Okay, what's the problem? Sin. He didn't want to turn loose from his sin. He didn't want to be holy. So he turned away from God. The next logical step is to try to invent a plan whereby we can be saved now, but become holy later, at some point in the future, while continuing to live a profane life here and now. Well, it looks to me like that's just what has happened, don't it, to you? God's altogether holy, but man is more or less holy, as his heart is more or less sanctified. Now, that's the truth. That's the way it is. We call a man holy when he's purified from evil and his life is regulated by God's precepts and God's word. Now, we call a man holy or a woman holy when they're like that, when they live like that. Now, there's hardly anybody who uses the word holy to describe someone, no matter how religious they are, if they're not separated from the world in their disposition and in their activities. Now, who's going to call somebody holy when they're worldly, worldly-minded, living after the flesh, involved in worldly things, enjoying the world's entertainment and pastimes and has the world's philosophies? Who is going to call them holy? Nobody. Right. Not even blind sinners would call somebody like that holy. They know better. So in respect to people, the word holy is used nearly as a synonym with good, godly, and an old-fashioned word called pious. That's been turned into a insulting slang word. You think you're so pious? No, it's a real word that means holy. You know, upright, just. So you see, people think of holiness in terms of godliness and goodness in people. Our personal holiness is our responsibility. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. Well, I don't know how you can make it any plainer than that. Well, that's the Old Testament. So you think that don't matter anymore. You think under the New Testament and the New Covenant, where we got better sacrifices, better promises, and everything's, the light's been, it's blazing now where it was just barely shining back then. So then, under all this new revelation and light, God would say, don't worry about holiness. I'm holy and that's all that matters. Don't y'all worry. You're just unholy and you can't help it and you're going to stay that way. So don't lose no sleep over it. You think God would say that? Think that way. You think he would send a prophet to tell you that? No. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he... Now, this is New Testament. This ain't Leviticus. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Well, put that in your pipe now. How does that strike you? Pretty plain to me. Old Testament, New Testament, same thing. Your personal holiness is our responsibility. 1 Peter chapter 1, the next verse, 16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now see, Peter's referring back to the Old Testament where God said that before. Still stands true. And like the Old Testament, we got plenty of New Testament where we can read where the New Testament writers quoted the Old Testament and said, you better pay attention. Our holiness is not something that God imputes to us or forces upon us in our daily life. God don't force you to it. You can be holy or you can be profane. Your choice. But it's a difference in knowing God, not knowing God. It's a difference in having hope or in having no hope. Holiness means to be consecrated or set apart to a sacred use or to the service or worship of God. Now that's what holiness means when it's applied to or used to describe earthly things or people. Set apart, consecrated for the sacred use. He talked about the tabernacle and all and the holy things. And then there's the holy place. And then there's the most holy place. There's the holy things and then there's the most holy things. You remember the message Don Green preached on the holier, the harder. Remember that? A lot of that furniture could be carried on wagons and stuff like that, but not the Ark of the Covenant. And some of the other things, they had to be carried by people. They had staves, had rings in the side of it, and staves they put through it, and men had to carry it. You didn't put it on a wagon and let an ox bang it around and an animal pulling it. It's too holy. You understand? It means something. There are sacred things. There's things that there is much importance attached to by God. You know, the church is kind of like that. We consider this a holy place and we ought to reverence it more. Yes. And, you know, especially, you know, everything. But like right here, this is where the Word of God is preached from. This ought to be a holy place. We ought to consider this a holy place. Separate. It's sanctified. It is set aside. It's not for jokes and carrying on. This is, it ought to be treated with soberness and reverence, not because it's anything, it's a piece of wood, but what it represents. And it was the same thing with the things of the tabernacle and the temple. The holy Sabbath, the holy oil, the holy vessels. The Bible talks about these things, and it says it like that. An holy nation, that's what we are. It says we're a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, and holy nation. God's people. He's talking about the church. The holy temple, the holy priesthood, the holy word, his holy name. We call this the holy Bible. It's not just a book. I don't even like it when they call it the good book. It's the holy Bible. It's the holy scriptures. It's the word of God. And it ought to be treated as if it was different than any other book. Only people who treat it like it's any other book are unholy, profane people who don't have any regard for holy things. They're bringing things into church now. You know, I was thinking the other day, all this contemporary worship and the other things they're doing, and not just them, but I mean, Baptists are doing it too. But it's equivalent to sacrificing a sow on the altar of the temple. Yeah. It's just what it is. It's not holy. It's treating holy things as if they were common and profane. Boy, God judged Israel for that. They failed to make a difference between the holy and the profane. So, Romans 12:1, y'all know this verse real well. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the next verse says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so we are to be holy. Your bodies to be holy. Present your body, living sacrifice, holy. Well, it's hard for Baptists to do since this old stinking flesh ain't nothing but rotten and filthy and it's my problem and all of that. If you think your body is the flesh that it's talking about in all those verses, then you got a very bad problem. You got a hard thing to do to present that old stinking flesh holy. So, to be holy is our duty and responsibility to God. Need to get that. I'm to be holy. You're to be holy before God. What does it mean? Set apart, sanctified, separate. It means not profane. That's right. It means not just like everything else in this dirty, rotten world. You're to be different. You're a peculiar people. You're a royal priesthood, an holy nation. We're different. We're God's people. If you're one, then you be holy. It's a fact. It is, in fact, the command of God. We're commanded to be holy. I just read you two or three verses there where he said, be ye holy. Just like other commandments that we take seriously. Thou shalt not. We all take them serious. A lot of people do, but they don't take this one as serious. Oh, it's impossible. We're called to be holy. And the fact that God's holiness is offensive to sinful people is obvious in the churches and all the religious practices of our time. It's very plain to me. What do they do if you try to live too right? See, that's what the problem is. That's what the problem is. Some people in here, even tonight, you know, you don't want to be too. You don't want them to think you're a holy roller, right? You don't want them to call you a holy roller. I've been reading these old books and stuff, and they'd call them holy man. Oh, so now you're a holy man. They said that to John Newton. Yeah. So now you're a holy man, huh? They called that Russian guy in the prison holy man. Boy, you wouldn't want to have to endure that awful persecution. So you back away. You stay as clear as you can from that because you sure don't want them to think that of you. Mm-hmm. Holiness is somewhat easier to understand when we look at what it is not. When you look at the opposite of it. Opposite of holy is profane, which means common and unclean. Profane people have no regard or reverence for holy things or persons. And that's why they mock and make fun and insult. Yeah, and lie about. Instead of preaching and teaching and living that encourages sinners to come to God and be lifted up out of their pit of sin, they're instead taught about a God that is just like them. Yeah, he's just like them. He's kind of like the old pagan gods that didn't do nothing but have one tryst after another with some female god. Yeah. Well, it sure made them feel good about their immorality and their loose morals. They had gods that were just like them. I mean, the gods were doing the same thing, except in a super way. Doing the same thing, having affairs and having children out of wedlock and all this. I mean, they're gods. They're pagan gods. You know, Jupiter, Diana, Easter. Yeah. All those gods. All of them. None of them had any virtue. None of them espoused any morals or any moral law. No, quite the opposite. And everybody thinks that's some kind of different thing. That's just a different religion. And Christianity is just like that religion. I mean, one religion and that religion, same thing. I mean, it's just these crazy people that are weak-minded and they need a crutch, so they invent these gods. No, that is all a perversion. All that came from apostasy. I mean, when Noah and his sons got off the ark, they all understood about the same God. And from that point, people distorted and twisted and invented their own God in their own mind till it evolved into that nonsense. And so the day we're living in, it's just the same way. They want a God that's good and kind and merciful and always there to help. And he's got all this power and he can do anything for you. But he ain't got no morals. He's not holy. That's the kind of God they want. If he's holy, that's why the pews are empty. That's why the churches are empty and the jails are full. Mm-hmm. And the only churches that are full, for the most part, by and large, and you know it's true, they're the ones that are preaching a God that's not holy. Now they would argue as, well, we believe God's holy. Well, why don't you talk about it sometime then? Why don't you teach them people about a God that's holy? Why don't you talk about their profaneness and their sin that is so unlike God and it is standing between them and God? Because they'll reject a God like that. They'd say, well, if that's the way it's going to be, we're out of here. They go right down the road to some other church. Over and over and over. I just hear it all the time. Brother Shepherd's telling me down there too. Said some people in his church one time ran off together, left their spouses and ran off together. And after they got all divorced and everything in order, they got married and they just went right down the road to another church and they put them right in there. Put them right in as leaders in the church. Yes, sir. Baptist church, don't believe God's holy. Instead of preaching and teaching and living, that's the way we ought to do it. Instead of reverence toward God, he's referred to as Daddy. Oh, I hate that when I see these memes and hear these people talk about it and they call Dad. They refer to Dad, God as Dad. God the Father's Dad. Jesus is, you know, our sweet little Jesus. That's irreverent. How can you talk about God if you have any kind of understanding that He's holy and call Him in such irreverent terms? Cool dude. Jesus is a cool dude. The old man upstairs. Now, boy, ain't that... We saw him this morning about honoring your father and mother. And I thought about that later. You know, people call their parents the old man, the old lady. You know. How can you call God that? Call Jesus that? The old man upstairs. Whew. Mercy. Great efforts are made to make Jesus look as common as they can make him look. Now you think about that. All the pictures, all the artists, all the illustrations of Jesus, they try to make him look as much like us, as common, as sinful man as they can. He's never exalted. He's always demeaned, in my opinion. He's always feminized. He's always made to look like he is, just a beggar or something. Worship services have been made as common as they can possibly be made. Clothing is common and much of the time profane. People come to church half naked. Yeah. You remember Mike telling me they had a big ruckus in their denomination because of some young preacher built this super church down in Florida and he baptized a woman in a bikini. And so, you know, of course, some of the old timers, old fuddy-duddies, you know, said that wasn't right. Shouldn't be doing that. Well, what's next? Their language and demeanor is common and profane. They don't try to talk in any kind of a dignified way. It's slang and slur and hip talk and cool talk and, you know, with the preaching I'm talking about. The singing, the music is all patterned after the world and its profaneness. I'm saying everything about the worship now, they're making it profane. It's not holy. So then what is it? If it's not holy, what's the opposite? If it's not holy, then it is profane. Now that's God's view. Now that's the way God looks at it and you can bank on that. Men love it. They love that fleshly beat and all of that. I've got a thing that I found about drums, and I keep meaning to print it out and bring it so some of you can read it. But if you don't think it makes a difference, just talk to some Africans. They can tell you what it means. They know exactly what it means. And it don't mean holiness. Yeah. How can we get anything from this dirty, filthy, ungodly world and make it holy? You don't do that. No, sir. You don't go to Egypt to get your vessels to worship God with. Or Babylon. They don't come from there. The language and the demeanor is common and profane. The service itself is common and profane. It's worldly, sensual, music and dancing, and it's profane. The Word of God has been made common and profane with all the versions that everybody's, you know, each one trying to outdo the other in commonness and profane street talk. I wish I could find that living Bible that I used to have years ago. And you can look in there where Saul said to Jonathan, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman." If you could see what it said, and you heard a preacher quote it, read it out of the pulpit, I wonder if it would affect you. It's profanity. He didn't say son of a perverse and rebellious woman. He says the same thing that they say down at the races and the fights and everywhere else where men are cussing and raring. A Bible with profanity in it? The Holy Scriptures? And they put profanity in it? Street language? I mean, all these new ones now, that's what they are. They're just hip talk. They change the Ten Commandments and everything. Change it all into... You know, I hate it when they take the Ten Commandments and they use it as a pattern to make some joke or something funny or cute. It's blasphemy. It's not holiness. You better remember God's holy. See, all this is offensive to most everybody nowadays because they don't want a holy God. And they don't want to hear about a holy God. They want to hear about a loving God. But God can't love. God can't be good and patient and kind and compassionate and long-suffering and all of that if He ain't holy. It's like the wife who wants all that the world has and she wants money, money, money and all the nice things, but she don't want her husband to work. The Word of God's been made common and profane. The institutions of God have been made common and profane. Marriage. Sodomites want to get married. And then other people who claim to be Christians want to fornicate and sit in a church pew and claim to be saved. They don't want to get married. Everybody else don't want to get married. Marriage has been profaned. It used to be holy matrimony. What is it now? Well, it's a shame, man. You don't want to get married. Why get married? It'll destroy your chances for getting government checks and Medicaid and everything else if you get married. That's right. And then when you're old, you lose your pension and everything if you get married. Just shack. Just go ahead and shack. And sodomites fight to the Supreme Court for the right to get married. They've profaned a holy thing. Church membership. That's a holy thing. But you can be a member of a church now and live anyway, do anything, be any kind of sinner, and you can still be a church member in most churches. Not here. But, you know, most places you can. The ministry, it's a holy thing. But anybody can be a preacher now. Anybody. Any man, any woman, any sodomite, any pervert, anybody can be a preacher. Yeah, if you want to be an ordained preacher, you can get on the internet and give somebody $25 and you got it. You're ordained. It's meaningless. It's been profaned. They used to call men of God reverend. Well, you know, when I first started, a lot of preachers said that was... You know, shouldn't do that. Shouldn't call a man reverend. Well, there was a reason for it. It was a holy office. It was a holy position. And it was understood that way. But now it's profane. It's full of immoral people. The reputation has been ruined. It's been brought down to where it doesn't mean anything. In fact, it's more of a detriment. Like, You know, who credit agencies and stuff, you know, if you go to get credit, you know what? If you tell them you're a preacher, that puts you, you're very likely not to get anything, because preachers generally have a very poor reputation, for being honest. Now, how about that? And you wonder what's wrong with the churches and why everything's in the shape it's in. Holiness. It's the old deal, well, people can't be holy. Well, you better think that over again. You better be holy. And holiness covers, it's a big umbrella that brings all the rest of this in. Can't call somebody holy if they're a liar. Can't call somebody holy if they're dishonest or immoral. You can't do that. And what business does somebody like that have handling holy things like the Holy Scriptures? Being an under-shepherd over a church, which is a holy thing. It ain't the way it is it? Mm-mm. Well, Aaron's son, we're going to get to it here eventually in Leviticus, but man alive, they tried that one time. They offered strange fire. They didn't understand this deal about holiness. Moses showed them exactly how to do it, step by step. Then he let them do it. And then the next time they come, they tried to do it different. God killed them. Dead in a hammer. Right on the spot. Mm-hmm. When the priest went into the Holy of Holies, he had a rope around his ankle so they could drag his carcass out of there if God killed him for not being holy and entering into the holy things. So it's obvious that God's holy, and sinful men don't like a God like that. They do everything they can to work around this attribute of God. But it's one attribute. It's the one attribute that, for which we ought to be the most thankful. We ought to be the most thankful about everything that God's holy. We ought to be more thankful that He's holy than we are that He's good and merciful and kind and loving. He's holy. That the Creator and the ruler of the universe is holy is a fact that gives us hope. No matter what's happening here on earth, He's holy. God is holy. What does the Bible tell us in Revelation that's going to be the word that you're going to hear always? Forever and ever. What are the saints of God? What are the elders around the throne? And what are they all saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven rings with the word, because that says it all. That says everything about God. He's holy. And men don't like it. Ain't that awful? My, my. God will be holy when heaven and earth are passed away with all their unholy inhabitants. God will still be holy. And anyone who's born of God will have a desire to be holy because God's holy. I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. Anyone who's born of God will strive to be holy, and they will sanctify themselves, just like the Bible says. You know, this old junk of works, that's works, that's works. You can't do that. If you try to do that, that's works. Be ye holy. Now what are you going to do? Relax in your unholiness and say, I can't help it. And God don't expect me to. And if I try, then it's an abomination to Him. No, that's not the way it is. This is true without anybody's born of God is going to try to be holy. And they're going to sanctify themselves according to the light they're given. Now that ought to, you ought to be able to understand that. If you got any time at all with the Lord, you ought to understand that. It never stops, this sanctification stuff. Long as you live on this earth, God keeps dealing with you, keeps working on you. He keeps digging deeper and deeper. And you get more and more light. You get more and more understanding. You get a keener eye. You get a keener ear. You get a keener sense for what's wrong with you. It needs to be fixed. And it gets easier and easier to fix it too. Well, you're progressing. You're being sanctified. You're being made holy. Yield to it. Yield to God. Let Him make you holy. By showing you what you need to do, what you need to not do. What you need to cast out of your mind, your imaginations, your life, your physical life. It don't take us long to clean up physical life. I mean, you know, most of the religion never goes beyond that. You know, just drinking, cussing, smoking, that kind of stuff. Get that cleaned up, you're okay. No, you're not. That's the easy stuff. Then God goes to digging deeper. Till He gets rid of all that bitterness and all that false ideas you got in your head and your heart that's all messed up and in love with things that are rotten and worthless. He goes to digging in there, see? And you begin to understanding about holiness. Just because you don't drink, smoke, cuss, or chew, or run around with women, that don't mean you're holy. So, this is true without a doubt, because the Bible makes it clear that heaven is a holy place with holy inhabitants. Revelation 21, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness. Wow. Do y'all know that was in there? Follow peace with all men. And what? Follow what? Holiness. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow holiness. What does that mean? It means you better look for people who are being made holy, and you better follow them. You better stay in that way. You better look to God who is holy and head toward Him. Better look in the mirror of God's Word and let Him reveal to you what's in your heart and in your soul that needs to be made holy. Live for God. Live a holy life. And don't be ashamed of it. It's not just a set of rules to live by, but it's a new birth and a change of heart and a change of attitude and affections, what you love, what you desire. It's a new creature who identifies with God, who is holy. If you don't want to be holy, and you're not concerned about your own personal holiness, then you're not even headed in the right direction. Follow after holiness. You ain't following after holiness if you ain't looking that direction. Can't walk backwards in this deal. Follow after. That means you're looking that way and you're walking that way. You're heading that way. You're in route. You're headed and you're going that way. So, it's a desire to be like God in His character. And a determination to do so, even if it's one little step at a time. One little step at a time. You still going to persevere in that direction. God is holy. Do you understand what that means? It indicates an absence of sin. Are you wanting to head that way, or you just give up to, we're all sinners, we know that. You're just rotten as I am. Pat each other on the back and keep at it. I don't even believe anybody's saved if they ain't got a desire to be better than they are. If they don't have a desire to be right with God, to have a conscience clear of offense before God and man. If you ain't got that desire, man, you ain't on the right road. Amen. Paul had that desire. In fact, he said he endeavored to do that. He lived his life with that in view, to have a conscience clear of offense before God and man. He wanted to be right with God. How can we come before God's throne boldly to find grace to help in time of need? How can we do that if we've got sin in the way? The whole Bible teaches us that that's not possible. Even in the New Testament, it says if you come to the altar to offer your gift and you remember that you have a brother that has ought against you, go ahead and offer your gift and God will deal with you about that later. Is that what it says? No, it says stop right there. Don't try to offer your gift to God. Don't try to make a vow to God. Don't try to gain favor with God until you fix that. Well, what is that? Well, that's to do with holiness. If I hide iniquity, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear my prayer. That has to do with holiness, with being clean, with being right, with being pure before God. Can you do that? Yes, you can. Somebody else might come up and they might see a fault in you or claim to, but that doesn't matter. You have to have a clear conscience before God. Sometimes it's helpful for other people to point out our faults, else we don't see them. If we've got a heart that's right, then we would thank them for it and then correct the problem if it's really there. Amen. It's not up to other people to decide whether I'm holy or not. Now, it is important that I do my best to make sure that, and you can't, this is one of those things you can't pretend and feign and fool everybody with. You can't. So I said to David there today, when somebody's trying to fake being humble and all of this, like these things we're talking about, to somebody who's got discernment, they can smell it. You can smell it. It's fake. Well, they don't realize that. They think the fake's as good as the real, but it ain't. Amen. All right, well, stand with me. The holiness of God is one of the hardest things to put into words where people can get a real grasp on it in their minds. And the best way, the best thing I've said here tonight to help you is it's just kind of like the thing that covers all the rest. It's what ties all the rest together. It's the thread that holds it all together. It's the attribute of God from which everything else flows. It's kind of like the root of all the branches of God's attributes. He's holy. If he wasn't holy, we wouldn't have nothing else to bank on.
That's right.
But since he's holy, we know that all the rest of these things are as sure as God in heaven sits on his throne. All right, well, bow with me. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the fact that you're holy. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to remember and understand that. We'd be glad for it. And we wouldn't resent it. We wouldn't resist it. That we'd realize we're to be holy. We're to live a holy life. And that holiness is to be the source of all the other good things that we do. And it's not a work we do. It's an attribute that we acquire by drawing nigh to thee and by being sanctified through the Spirit and the Word of God. The washing of the water of the Word. Please help us, Lord, to apply it in our lives and to remember these things and to put them all together and to keep them and to live our life according to your Word. And help us now, Lord, as we leave. Amen. Watch over us through the week. Watch over those traveling this week. And watch over these that are sick. I pray for Jacob, Lord, especially. Also, that he'd be able to get out of that hospital this week and Lord, that you'd work in that situation. Thank you for the good Lord's day, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.